Well, good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arkin. That's Andy Hart. It is a Patriots Monday. We are live at Gillette Stadium. Not up in the swanky suites or anything. No, no, no. We're down here in studio where we always are, where we'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett, who will be live in studio with us, I think. We'll get more on that in a minute. Also, Jonathan Jones scheduled to talk with us today as well. Patriots lose to the Miami Dolphins. You call it the ugliest game ever you've ever seen. I don't know. There was a three-game stretch last year where this could end up being like part of that. You know, this could end up being part of a stretch as bad, but there was a three-game stretch last year where they lost 10-6, 10-6, and 6-0, or 10-7, or whatever it was. The Germany game, the Giants game, and then that Chargers game. Mm-hmm. And all three of those games I thought were worse than yesterday. Not by a lot. But that's really it. I mean, I think that you're talking about bottom of the barrel type of stuff here. You're talking about as bad as this team's ever looked in their entire history, really. And that goes back to the early 90s. That goes back to the AFL. You know, like we're talking about all-time bad football. And you saw it on display yesterday. We'll get through all the ups and downs of the game. There were a couple of ups. There were a couple of things that happened that you looked at and thought, all right, well, you know, an interception, a blocked punt, you know, things like that that were positive. But for the most part, it was an unwatchable mess at Gillette Stadium yesterday.
Yeah, I stand by it was the worst game I've ever seen because I have never seen two quarterbacks, all three phases, two teams be so inept. I thought it was ineptitude across the board, save for maybe running the ball a little bit for both teams. But the penalties, what they have combined penalties, 20-something penalties, the mistakes, the idiocy, and again, the poor quarterback play when you're watching what probably were the two worst quarterbacks in the NFL that are starting currently going at it on the field.
18 penalties combined, by the way. 12 Patriots, 6 for the Dolphins.
Felt like more than that. They were flagged. And I included the referees in that. I thought they were pretty bad as well. There were some questionable calls. That was as lacking of entertainment value. Like, you can have blowouts where one team is horrific, but usually somebody's making plays.
Right.
Somebody's doing something to wow you in a memorable, positive fashion. You didn't really get that. I mean, other than maybe Christian Gonzalez's interception, that was a really nice play. And then there was that weird two-play stretch later where he almost had the second interception. Tyreek Hill knocks it out. Then Tyreek Hill almost has the touchdown.
Yeah.
And Christian Gonzalez shoves him out, and he's not. There was like, oh, I was like, whoa, whoa, was that entertainment? Was there entertainment value in this game for a second there? But from start to finish, and I include the fans and players and coaches who didn't know the rules on the Jalen Polk would-be touchdown, non-touchdown.
That was embarrassing. I don't even really want to talk about that today because it was just...
There was a pool freaking report.
Big play, but like, Jesus, people, that was very clearly out of bounds. It broke my heart, too, but come on. If the foot doesn't land all the way in bounds and the whole foot goes down, then that's the way it's always been. I'm not even like... You know, like old-timers are like, oh, yeah, that's the way it's always been. It's true. That's the way ever since the forward pass was invented and the sidelines was there. If you get your foot down and the whole foot comes down, if you toe tap, fine. You toe tapped.
Right.
But whatever makes contact with the ground, the whole thing has to be in bounds. And his wasn't. And that's it.
But did you see the response on social media? Did you? I mean, half the players didn't know the rule. I was surprised. Reporters, aged reporters, people that have been covering the NFL and football for 20, 30, 40 years, didn't know the rule, and I feel like I've seen it discussed a million times. I always, in my mind, Chris Collinsworth has talked about that play. Go, like, he almost has that, oh, it's going to be the old toe heel or heel toe, like, and he just, like, chuckles about it because he almost knows that some people are going to dispute it. Like, I had people on Twitter, what do you mean it was obvious? Well, what if his foot hadn't come down and he had just tapped it? And
then it would have been a touchdown.
Then it's a totally different play than what happened in front of you.
If that had happened, then yes, we'd all be celebrating.
But
right,
we all saw what happened, and it really is no different than Isaiah Likely in week one in Kansas City. It's just the foot went heel-toe instead of toe-heel. It's the same rule. And I actually thought it was so obvious, I was surprised it was called a touchdown live. There's a guy standing right there that he sees half a foot land out of bounds. I don't really know why. Maybe just because it was late and it's like, let's just err on
that's
the side
what
they
err of
on,
and we'll right? review, then I guess. And you can look back at it, of course.
But
I think that's like, the reason
you
why.
You shouldn't err on that. You can see that it's not a touchdown, but to me, that added to the whole day because the whole crowd booed. They put it on the scoreboard, and you're like, wow. I don't know how many people were left at that point. I don't think it was necessarily 60,000, but 50,000, 40,000, whatever was left, were booing like, wow, they really have no idea what they're looking at.
Can we talk about that throw, too, by the way?
I mean, Polk's wide open sitting in the middle of the end zone. He throws it 20 feet in the air.
Well, that's why he's going to be soon-to-be former quarterback of the England Patriots.
Like, for all the time.
And that's not the worst one.
Polk's got to get his foot down. How about you just deliver the ball to a guy who's standing wide open literally in the center of the end
zone? But he's Jacoby Brissett. He's a journeyman backup. Yeah. Like, the one thing he's supposed to be is pro-ready, game-ready, knows what he's doing. What exactly was supposed to happen on the throw to Hunter Henry to end the game?
I don't know. Like, you had Pop Douglas screaming toward the sideline.
Or if you had had a hook and a ladder or something. Like, I have no idea what was supposed to happen there other than what happened. He catches it and...
And we're going home.
Well, the game's over.
That is the end. Again. Yeah. Like, Sarge comes on over the PA like, that's it, everybody. You're done. Yeah.
That right there was so... unbelievable to me. Like, the throw, a bad throw can happen. He's Jacoby Brissett. He's not Tom Brady. Like, I don't assume every throw is going to be great. So many things. Like, the Keon White, the penalties, the back-to-back in that short span where he has the horse call. Okay, physical play, you want to make a tackle. Oh, you're rushing a passer, you got overzealous, and you kind of launched yourself. But Jacoby Brissett, like, how'd you think that was going to play out differently than the clock just... Like, that was so...
Maybe
that was sad trombone.
He'd, like, gronk those guys out of the way and just make...
But he's not gronk.
No kidding.
You know what I mean? Like, Hunter Henry, love him, mean it. But when have you ever thrown it to him thinking, oh, he'll break a couple tackles and get 10 extra yards? And, you know, that's not who he is. It's never been who he's been. So that was just the icing on this abysmal cake.
Yeah, the Patriots had two turnovers in this game. They won the turnover battle 2-0, and they lost. And they lost 15-10. And the only touchdown they got was on the short field. Like, that same thing happened last week. Their scoring plays come on these short fields. Special teams maybe giving them a boost, something on the defense, whatever it is. And we'll get, to the defense, because despite the low score, that last drive by the Dolphins with that quarterback and that line and everything that just pushing you around and running into the end zone there with the fullback, I think it was, like, that was...
Whoa, not the, like, don't be dismissive. Fullback, Ingold.
Yeah, Alec Ingold, the fullback, I don't know.
He deserved it. He was leading, and they ran it right down your throat.
Yeah.
Right down.
They got bullied at the end of that game.
Absolutely, and it's a lot like the Seattle game. Yeah. I actually heard Jones and Keith say you've had three bad losses in a row. To me, you've had four. The Seattle game was winnable, but it was a bad loss. You gagged it away, and even in overtime, we've talked about this.
They gagged this away. They had a lead in the fourth quarter.
Well, this one was, I don't even know. Gag away, did they feel like they had a lead? I know the score said they had a lead, but it didn't really feel like anybody was leading. This was another game that played out exactly how we predicted. The two worst teams in football. What did Ross Tucker? The basement bowl?
Yes.
The toilet bowl I saw on Twitter. All these various divisive words being used for this game. But it's what we expected. Like, clearly Mike McDaniel looks frustrated. Snoop Huntley is not good. He didn't look much better having had a little extra time.
Mm-mm.
There was...
They didn't, like, put an offense together for him.
No.
Where he could run around and, get guys the ball in space. Like, none of that was happening.
Nope. And both
he did
teams...
He did hit Hill a couple of... So, obviously, the Patriots are getting back, and he did have a couple of big plays that picked up first down. So, it's not like he couldn't do anything. But,
yeah, no, there was that one, like, in cut where Gonzo was on him, and they were like, wow, the safeties are really deep. They're really respecting the speed of Hill here. Mark Sanchez, also not good, but he had a field day. Seemingly kind of mocking the Patriots a lot of the time.
I think that was cathartic for him, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like he kind of got off on mocking the Patriots and seeing. He even had the comment about, I went to practice and I saw a lot of this dysfunction on the practice field, which I want to ask our two guests today. And I'll say our two guests because I'm assuming it's Jones and I don't know who the other guest will be.
Right.
I'd be happy to talk to Jacoby Brissett because he's a nice man. I'd also be happy to talk to Drake May because he's the new starting quarterback, fingers crossed, heading into the game against the Texans.
Or Joe Milton comes in.
I don't really want to talk Joe Milton. Not going to lie to you. No disrespect, Joe Milton, but... I mean,
I think just the spectacle of him walking in here would be... I'd be excited about that.
Plus, he'll make me look really little.
He's a large
he is
fella.
A massive human being.
But I would not have a whole lot of questions for, like, you know, after, oh, wow, so when did you find out you were going to start? I wouldn't know what else to ask Joe Milton.
I feel like we'd be asking about Brissett and May with Milton in here.
All our questions just like, so what do you think about this?
So you got a mutiny on your hands in there. What do you think about it as a third-string rookie backup six-string quarterback, six-round quarterback?
The penalties you mentioned, 12 men on the field on a punt return?
Gross. I mean, absolutely gross.
Jesus.
I don't know this how it happens.
Where is the discipline? Where is anything? Like, this is, if it's not a mutiny, because I heard you on the Six Rings last night, and...
Hey, thanks for listening.
I was. It was you and Chime that I mostly heard. I don't even know when Fitzy got there, but I was listening to you talk about how it didn't appear as though that was a team mid-mutiny on the field.
No.
They weren't quitting. They weren't throwing the coach overboard or anything like that. They're just not good.
Do you agree?
And I think that's an indication of it, all the penalties. I don't think you do that on purpose. You don't do that to try and throw the game. You know, I have 12 men on the field.
But it's unacceptable.
All the holdings, all the movement and all that stuff. It's unacceptable, but that's who they are. That, to me, doesn't point to a mutiny.
No, I
like,
think
a mutiny is like pulling up on tackles and not, you know, alligator arm and balls.
Business
and stuff
decisions.
Like that. I didn't see him doing a lot of that.
No.
It was just general incompetence, I guess, is my point.
General incompetence is a great way to put it. I think they fought to the finish, and I think they were trying to win from Brissett to Henry. Like, Hunter Henry had that terrible penalty. I don't know if it mattered or not, but how do you false start with the game on the line? They're on the 10-yard line or whatever. Like, how? You're a wide receiver. It's not like you're trying to – you got Julius Peppers or some elite edge rusher or T.J. Watt, and you're trying to block. Nope, you were going to run a pass route. You were out wide on 2 feet. And I know he's a great professional. Like, this, we all make mistakes, but it just feels like it's spreading. Like, it's that poison ivy, and it's just kind of spreading all over the team of – and they're itchy, and they're bad.
Yeah.
And the Uche one...
It spread into the crowd, too.
Oh, absolutely.
They were booing yesterday.
And I mean, they should.
Yeah.
If you paid... And I go back to this.
It's a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day, and you wasted it at Gillette Stadium. Because
yep,
you
much.
Got no return on your investment of time or money. You were not entertained at all. You didn't even get garbage time, Drake May, or something you could tell your friends about. Like, I mean, literally the only thing you could tell your friends about that is, I may have watched the worst game in the history of the NFL. I got to see it in person and live. And... this is entertainment. I'll go back to that. I know they're competing and they're rebuilding and they want to win titles and get back to that. And Robert Kraft wants to make money and it's a business. But from a viewer perspective, before you can win, you know how Bill says before you can win, you have to not lose?
Yep.
Before you can win, you have to entertain me. Give me something that I want to see. And I would say under five, I would only need one hand to pull out entertaining plays from this game. Because I would include Ramondre Stevenson's touchdown run, 33 mm-hmm. yards. It's nice run,
nice
right?
Play.
Christian Gonzalez's interception, undercutting the route.
They should bench him every week.
Was he really benched, or did he just not start?
He didn't play like the first
four plays or whatever, three plays?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is that really a benching? That's the lamest benching, like, that I'd like to have Gerard Mayo as a parent.
It was very performative, I think. I don't think there was actually any teeth behind
it. But he didn't fumble.
No,
did I win my bet?
He had 12 carries to 6 for Antonio Gibson.
Didn't you bet that he was going to fumble in this game?
Did I?
Yeah. I think you owe me a six-pack.
What was I going to get? I must have gotten sucked because for them to keep on fumbling.
If he had fumbled, I would have given you a six-pack.
Nah, but that doesn't square up because guys don't fumble every game.
Doesn't matter. He didn't fumble.
A keg or something. Fine. All right.
And I'm not sure.
We can go back over the tape. Find the find.
Did you see the photos? I'm not sure. It's totally cleaned up. There was one run where and the ball is like, he's holding it like this.
Yeah,
he's cupping it like he's freaking dunking it in an NBA dunk contest. And I was like, wow, one finger touches that, and he's got his fumble in his fifth straight game. So all is not well that didn't end well.
The only fumble was Gonzalez on the what would have been the second interception of the game in the end zone. He's got it in his hands, and then he'll knock it out of his hands.
But that's not really a fumble.
It's not really a fumble, but it was kind of a fumble. Like, that was the closest thing.
There's a difference between a cornerback not having security on the ball and your workhorse running back. Like, that's his whole job is to hold on to the ball 20-plus times a game with people coming at him.
Right.
Ugh. I'm still frustrated. Like, it was... I didn't want to do the post-game show last night because it wasn't even a...
Shine.
No, not at all. Because it wasn't... It was... I can't even really express what my energy was going into that because it's just like almost resignation.
Yeah.
I thought they would stink. They stink. And we're not a third of the way through the season yet. They're getting more banged up. There's no reason to believe there's entertainment on. It's literally.
They teased us in week one is the worst part, too, because that's why we have any hope at all. You know, like that's why
we
put any sort of stock into this. If they had gone out and the Bengals kicked their ass, we wouldn't be here in week five talking about, well, you know, we're resigned to whatever. Like we got a little glimpse. We got a little hope. A little bit, and even in the next week, you said it. I mean, that was a game that they
winnable
gagged
game.
Away. Two bad games, and now here you have the Miami Dolphins, who are scoring less points than you are at home. And you have most of your guys. Like, I mean, not the Dolphins had their quarterback out. You had a couple of injuries, but you had most of your starters out there that you wanted to have play.
And you got your offensive line kind of back, even though it was a totally new lineup. You're getting some of the guys you actually want on the field in positions, and they weren't horrific. They weren't terrible. They're not good. I'm not telling you they're good. But as far as offensive line performances go, this might have been their best of the season. And you mentioned the Bengals. The Bengals are 1-4, just like you.
Yep.
Does that feel the same?
Nope.
Because I see their quarterback.
Do they have talent?
Like, and their quarterback threw 5 touchdown passes, and their star receiver is going like 80 yards and making plays. And meanwhile, their quarterback is like, we are not a championship caliber football team. You're also not a 1-4 football team.
Right.
I know a 1-4 football team. I watch it every week. This is a... in my opinion, 0-5 football team, really. But Their record says they're 1-4. That's the other thing that's going to piss me off as this season rolls on. If they go 1-16 and I lose my 0-17 bet because of that stupid week one.
Well, at least you lost it early. It'd be worse to get to the end and have them win week 17.
I don't know what would be worse.
That would be worse.
Because I'm right.
Because then you'd be like blowing off all the cash out opportunities and everything. You'd be like, no, 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 I got
this.
0-17. Bam, and then they lose. That would be worse. Come on, that would definitely be worse.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Whether I was right or wrong about the actual betting of going 0-17, 0-17 was in play for this team.
Your instincts
and that's what I said.
Correct, I think. Because this seems like one of their last winnable games.
Yeah.
This seems like maybe the last.
Right. Like everybody goes, oh, yeah, the Jaguars aren't very good. I don't know. I saw Trevor Lawrence hitting Brian Thomas in stride down the sideline for a big play. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Everywhere I look, I see entertainment. I see big plays. I see things happening, except for the Patriots and the Dolphins. I'll wrap the Dolphins in there.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are not an entertaining football team, and they're worse off than you. Because they have their head coach who's supposed to be a genius. This was sort of predictable. Alex Van Pelt has never done this, and he has nothing to work with. So other than that, you know, how's the offense, Mrs. Lincoln, kind of thing.
Really. I mean, that's about where we're at. And defensively. You know, defensively, this was not a bad game until that last drive. And that last drive, I think, really, in a lot of ways for me, you thought it was a bad game for the defense?
I mean, you gave up almost 200 yards rushing.
Right. Met most of it on that last drive. I mean,
they gave up like 60 on that last drive, so they gave up a buck 30. The other, when you approach 200 yards rushing allowed on the ground for a team that I don't know what they're good at now. I don't, you know, excuse, non-excuse, whatever you want to call it. Juwan Bentley out, Jabril Peppers out, Kyle Duggar out,
right.
Christian Barmore out, Matthew Judon plays for the Falcons. I mean, what's that? Six of your projected starters coming into the season aren't playing, something
for the most
like
part,
that. So I understand the reality of it, but you still have Devon Godchai. You still have Jelani Tavai. You brought in Mapu, who's a third-round pick, and I know he's making his season debut, but you still have Gonzalez and Jones and those guys. You have more talent on defense still, right?
Guys that you paid.
You still have more talent on defense than offense.
Did you hear Josh Uche's name once yesterday?
12 men on the field when he's running off
right,
like this.
The only time.
I got to get off, and I didn't.
That was the one time.
And I don't know how that happens.
Like, I think didn't he have a sack yesterday? Like, I don't even remember that. I don't remember him doing anything. I barely heard his name.
I don't really remember him doing anything.
Dietrich Wise, I don't remember.
I remember him getting run over that one play where, I forgot who it was. Wright, the rookie, just lowered his head. And Dietrich Wise, who I think is a big, imposing dude, took a helmet to the chest and just, like, got blown backwards like he was in a movie getting exploded out of the screen.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, 15 points, holding a team to 15 points looks good until you remember it's the Dolphins who have been averaging 11 this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did. That was a
better game. They had like 50% more than their normal points.
It was against you and your defense, which is a sad way of looking at it, but that's just the truth.
And can we get into, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I know you're going
to
give the number.
I was trying to give the number.
We want to talk to people. This whole idea that the defense and the special teams were good enough and the offense wasn't, that Gerard Mayo is kind of selling, I could not disagree more.
Special teams missed the easy field goal.
Yep.
You know, they had some great plays, and obviously I think they were the best of the three, but they still missed the field goal.
And they had 12 men on the field on a punt. That's a turnover on downs.
Right.
Like, that's a turnover. That's basically the same as muffing the punt. You gave the ball back to the offense. Not as good field position, but you gave it back. It got covered up because I think the Gonzalez interception was one or two plays later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's unacceptable, and it's not even a physical mistake. Every football team on the planet on Fridays during their walkthrough goes through every single team. Like, okay, punt team, get out there.
Yep.
Punt return, get out. How do you have 12 men? Like, how does that happen at the NFL level? And we had been talking about that unit being so good. They were sort of removed from the criticism in the last few weeks.
It's one guy. It's Schooler. I mean, he's the guy, right?
Well, it was Sly, Behringer, Schooler who were all good. Yep. Now Sly's out because he missed a 30-something yard field goal, so you don't get to be part of the good anymore. I still think Behringer and Schooler are part of the good. But overall, when you miss a field goal in a low-scoring game, and when you jump, I mean, you have too many men on the field on a punt return, that's not good. That's not good enough to win. And defensively, they drove it right down your throats. So to me, this was a complimentary loss. This was all three phases because in a game that was, what was it, like 7-3, and then it was 10-6, and like whatever it was the whole time, was a one-score game, winnable game. So any play that you make a mistake in any of the three phases is losable, is contributing to losing. And all three phases, this is not just on Jacoby Brissett in the offense.
It went 3-0, 7-3, 10-3, 10-6, 10-9, 15-10.
Right. Like, those are all one-score games. So the mistakes are magnified, and the mistakes came in all three phases. I disagree with Jerod Mayo kind of, to me, letting defense and special teams off the hook. And then Devon Godshaw comes out, and he's clearly a parrot. Whatever Jerod Mayo says, he kind of says with a little more gusto and a little more magnification. But
he goes off on his own sometimes, too.
A little bit. But, no, this was a team loss. Y'all stunk. And I would add the fourth phase, the sideline. The sideline was horrific. Jerod Mayo and Alex Van Pelt, the game management.
Another terrible end of the first half.
End of the first half and end of the game.
They just don't. I mean, it's like every week.
Situational football, they embarrass themselves every week. It's bad.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a very rough stretch here for the Patriots, which we talked about changing the subject, right? Didn't we talk about this all week long with the mutiny stuff going on? What's a good way to change the subject? What's a good way to get the fans back on your side? What's a good way to energize this place a little bit? We'll see. Maybe that's on the horizon. I can tell you what's not energizing anybody, and that is the Jabril Peppers situation. We'll have more from that from Stiz here and what's trending, and then we'll get into the latest details. TMZ, you also got Boston Herald. A lot of people reporting on it now. The details are not good and may spell the end of Jabril Peppers here in New England. We'll get to all of that right after Stiz tells you what's trending.